I'm Jeff James from the Sony Music Legacy A&R team.
I'm Daniel Barassi. I'm Depeche Mode's archivist.
All right, so let's start. So the question is, when and how did the 12-inch box set come about, like the concept? Well, the concept for the box set began with wanting to celebrate the legacy of Depeche Mode. We decided to go with the UK 12-inch singles because for the most part, the UK have been mostly consistent with releasing 12-inch singles throughout Depeche Mode's career.
Yeah, except for the first one. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
That's right. Well, the first one came out, this is going to get good. The first one came out as a 7-inch, right? What was the first?
Dreaming of Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 7-inch only, but now it's a 12.
Yes, for the box set, for this series, we are going to basically have 12 inches from each of Depeche Mode's albums. So the first box set will be Speak and Spell, and Volume 2 will be A Broken Frame. Daniel, what have the fans been asking for, you know, that they want to see released from Depeche Mode?
Outside of this 12-inch box, or
let's stick with the 12-inch box.
Well, the 12-inch, I mean, many of the 12-inches aren't available anymore. I mean, yep. If you hit a used shop, you might find a couple of titles, but for the most part, you're not finding any of the catalog anymore, unless it's on, say, Spotify or one of the streaming services. And even then, there's tracks missing.
So the whole concept of it basically is each album will contain the 12-inches that were released from each album from the UK series, because as we know, there are many other variant Depeche Mode 12-inch releases throughout the world. Depeche Mode have been involved with the reissues. We make sure to run concepts by them, and they come back to us and they approve it. And so we do have the full consent of the band. Where did the rare content come from, and how difficult was it to find the content? All the content that we found so far have come from the Hayes Vault in the UK. We tried to go back to the original masters, so it will be in line with the original release, and we are, what's the word I'm looking for, Daniel?
Accurate.
Accurate, that's right. So we're accurate with the original release of each 12-inch. You want to talk about the differences between the mixes?
Ah, man. I mean, it's not even just differences between the mixes. It gets into the point where you find three or four of the same tape. It's, you know, here's a copy masters, here's CBS mastering, here's all the different people who handled the tape. There's a tape that even comes from, say, Hansa Studios there. And it's the trick of trying to find the master. Where's the one that doesn't fade out? Where's the one that sounds better, you know, 30 inches per second versus 15 inches per second? I mean, for me at least, you know, trying to find all these and make sure we use the right one has been it's been a challenge, but I mean, we're finding it. We're actually finding all the stuff. And even last night I was playing a few things and just sitting there, it's a straight tape transfer and it sounded so much better than anything I have in my collection.
I think throughout this whole project, also we should mention is that Daniel has been helping with comparing the original release with the tape transfers. How does that work, Daniel, like as far as that whole process, taking the original release and then comparing it to the tape transfer?
Well, I mean, there's a few different steps, obviously. I needle dropped everything that was relevant for each box, and then we were using that as references to find the right tapes and find everything else. And then after, say, test pressings or acetates are cut, I'm sitting there between two turntables and just bouncing back and forth to make sure the sound quality is the same, the equalization's the same, there's no glitches in any of the recordings or anything. It's as it should be.
The length of the project, when did we start working together? We started working together on this, could have been 2015?
It's 15 or early, say it was just after the home video project came out, because I'd finished working, doing all the vault stuff for the videos. That was over 400 tapes that we went through. And then, you know, got the call. It's like, hey, we're doing all the singles. Get ready. And it's been a process so far. I'm definitely anxious to see these get in fans' hands. And besides having the physical product again, which is going to be great that, you know, people can actually get a 12-inch single in their hands again, I think the digital versions is what's really going to get a lot of people's attention.
We're planning, you know, for the length of the project, we're planning to do everything, obviously, from the first album, Speak and Spell. So each concept, it's supposed to come out as far as volumes 1 and 2, that is the first two albums, then 3 and 4, 5 and 6. And then I believe Violator will be by itself. I don't think it's paired with another album. That's a projection that we have so far.
I think if you actually had Violator paired with something else and fans were going to go and buy it, they might need help leaving the store. It might be just a little too heavy to buy both at the same time.
What? So, you know what? As we're going through this, as the progression, what have you noticed with Depeche Mode, Daniel, as far as the mixes or the 12 inches are starting to grow exponentially? I mean, we're doing 3 and 4 right now, and it's going to contain, what is it? 6 sides or 3?
It's a few tracks. And keeping track of them, keeping track of which mix was on what album from a fan perspective as well as the archive guy perspective. It's like, as soon as I first got to touch boxes, I'm like, okay, I'm touching master tapes now. When I'm going through these, I'm like, okay, this is going to be great. Everything will be in order. No. I keep finding surprises along the way. It's like, okay, we've dubbed this entire tape. Let's listen to it. That's an instrumental version. That didn't exist before. Or just hearing rough takes, you know, when they assembled this is way before Pro Tools. So they would, you know, play certain tracks in the multi-track to a quarter-inch tape, and they do it in bits, and then they edit it together. And I'm actually finding those tapes, which it's interesting to find this. What I'm most looking forward to and also really afraid of is when we start getting to, say, Violator, all the mixes that are going to start appearing where it's a slight variation or, you know, it was a radio edit version that only appeared on some obscure promo 7-inch or something. It's going to get very, very chaotic, but I'm looking forward to finding everything and making it so fans can actually have it. You know, it's right. This is everything. It's taken from an absolute master tape source. It's you know, it's not just we're ripping a CD or, you know, oh, we couldn't find the master tape, so here's a needle drop of vinyl. This is going back to master tapes and doing this. I think it's going to be a great project by the end of it, but it's going to take some time. You know, it's going to be finding some stuff, but I think the fans at the end of the day are just going to be really excited by all the variants and all the other stuff that they will finally get hands on.
You know, can you explain also the whole L Bong series that we're going to start to run into, because those are also going to be included in the box set, which I think is very exciting because those are the limited series. But like, what made those special, or why did those that particular line was released?
Well, that was that when they put out the singles, you know, there'd be 7 Bong, 7-inch single, 12 Bong for the standard 12-inch, and then. I mean, it's giving something to the fans, the limited series, because it was always something special in the limited, but it was also something of the day. I mean, look at, say, Frankie Goes to Hollywood or some of these other artists where they'd released 15 formats of a single. The goal being that, hey, it's all technically the same single, so when it hits the charts, we're going to get a number one, and that would be the thing. Depeche didn't really do that, though. Even when they had a limited or an extra limited, it wasn't just like, here's a gimmick of a picture disc, here's, you know, some one-sided weird thing that's going to be something you don't want. Every Depeche Mode release had, back in the day, great mixes. That was the thing. You hunted down the standard 12-inch and the limited, and when you get to, Violator, extra limited of Enjoy the Silence, you know, and it was the 15-minute version of Enjoy the Silence. It's that kind of thing. The limited 12 inches were limited. You know, they did not exist as long as the standard releases. Some got reissued a couple of times. But, you know, for the most part, it was true to the word. It was limited. You couldn't get them. So, you know, being in LA, when I was trying to get British releases, you know, you'd hear that these things were coming out, you'd run to the shops on Melrose Avenue and go, okay, who has it? Take my $20. And then when CDs came out, they started having the LCD series, which even then had different mixes from the 12-inch. So if you were being a completist, you had to do some, you know, pre-internet research, and you definitely had to boost your bank account. But it was worth it. There were a lot of great tracks that were only on those limited releases. And again, going back to going through the tapes, I mean, I just transferred the Master and Servant Limited 12, the On You Sound Science Fiction Dance Hall Classic. Oh, why do I know that? But I just transferred that, and that sounds better than the 12-inch I've got. I mean, it's and these are flat transfers. Again, it's, you know, just it's amazing that the tapes held up. It's amazing hearing the clarity on some of this stuff. And of course, you know, being that I'm going and tweaking things here and there, I'm not having to do that much, which is great. I mean, it's nice to see the tapes held up over the years. And as I've noticed just in this progress of the first four boxes, the quality of even the engineering, because, you know, new band, they don't, you know, they might not know everything, you know, it's an independent label. Seeing the tapes as they're even progressing a few years and seeing a slight attention to detail a little more on the later releases compared to, say, the Dreaming of Me tape or something. It's like you can actually hear they were evolving in the studio with their music, but as well as the people who were the engineers and being doing production, etc. You can actually hear the difference on the tape, which is kind of cool.
So the whole series, which we're learning, is going to chronicle the whole story of Depeche Mode, which I think that's a really fascinating take on being able to see the sonic differences and how they progress as a band. So I'm definitely looking forward to when we hit The Violator and the later albums like Ultra and, you know, those particular releases as well. So when you mentioned tweaking, as far as not really tweaking per se, you are comparing the sonic from the original album or 12-inch to what we have, because these are, like you said, flat transfers.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm going in there to make sure, because I've noticed on a number of tracks, which has been kind of a surprise, I wasn't expecting as many as I found, that when you find the actual master tape, the one before it's sent to a mastering studio for them to make the master that makes the vinyl or whatever it is, the actual master tapes of the singles, some of them don't fade out. You know, the songs faded out when they were released, and the tapes don't. So it's been enlightening, to say at least. It's like, oh, in your memory, I don't remember it being 11 minutes long. You know, it's things like that where it's like, well, okay, something needs to be done. So, you know, again, going back to the original versions, say I'm going into Pro Tools and putting in the original version on one of the tracks and then bringing in the studio files, those rips that we're doing at the master tapes. And I'm going through and making sure everything's the same pitch, everything, you know, it starts in the right spot because there might be a note or two, like somebody bumped the keyboard before the song started, or there's a, you know, whatever. There's a little thing before, if it faded out on the released version and our master tape, which is the best sounding quality tape, it doesn't have a fade. I'm going through and putting gain envelopes at the end to ensure not only is it fade out, but it fades out as the original did. I'm actually taking the time to sit there and make sure, you know, some engineer back in 1984, sorry for not remembering your name, but some engineer was actually sitting there and manually pulling down the fader. My job is to make sure that fader that I'm doing now matches. So, you know, we get exactly the quality we're going for, and it's faithful to the original version. You know, I mean, that'd be kind of cool to release the full length version, but that's not, you know, that's not what this project is. It's been really, really fun, but a challenge to make sure that I match everything they did back when the tapes first came out.
And I also like to mention, with the box set as well, you know, it is vinyl and it's physical, but fans will be able to download the songs at high-res WAV files. So I definitely want to include that. And at the point is it's going to be at the 16-bit WAV files.
Still, yeah. I mean, you know, for a lot of these, yeah, you know, especially the L's, there has never been a CD version. So, yeah, you're buying the physical product. You get to hold a big 12-inch piece of vinyl in your hand again and say, oh, my God, I missed this back in the 80s. I wasn't old enough or, you know, whatever. You couldn't find a copy. But for the person who, you know, we could go into a vinyl versus CD debate here, but I won't do that. But, you know, for the people who actually do want a digital version and don't want to hear pops and cracks, you're going to get stuff that you've never had a CD or digital copy of, and it will be CD quality. It's not going to be AAC. It's not going to be MP3. It's actually going to be CD quality. It will be worth having. Trust me. I guarantee you, as a fan, you will want these.
So Daniel, also want to add is that along with this box set, the original artwork for each 12-inch that had artwork, because you know Depeche Mode had great art concepts, that will be as included as well, obviously. And it's not just a simple scan. We went back and we want to make sure that the artwork matched what was originally released, because, you know, over time, you know, albums kind of, if you did a regular scan, you might get imperfections. But we went back and we made sure to digitally enhance or work with the original concept. I mean, I think the artwork for this sound, it's going to look great.
Yeah, I mean, a special shout to Paul Taylor, Mute's art guy since, I want to say 91. I'm sure he'll correct me if I'm wrong on that. Yes. But Paul Taylor, he is the art guy at Mute. He has put hands on everything that has come out since, again, I want to say 1991 or so, and he is in charge of this. So everything that would have been touched by him before is being touched again. He has the background and knowledge of everything that's going on, so he knows what to look for. He's got original copies himself, so he can compare back and forth. If, say, there's like something missing, he can go back. I mean, he did the remasters, the ones that came out in 2005, 2006, and those were immaculate. They really did a great job on those.